Hello, I'm Sarah James, a lifestyle blogger and self-help aficionado.
And I'm Kristen Howerton, a writer and psychotherapist.
And you are listening to Selfie, a weekly podcast in the Life Listen Network about two women embarking on a self-care bender.
We're both of the opinion that self-care is important, and yet it's elusive. And while we may have all the information we need, we don't always get there.
We want to explore different aspects of self-care, from the silly to the serious, looking at body, mind, and spirit, and also just some random talk that's thrown in there for good measure.
We also want to look at the defenses and distractions that keep us from caring for ourselves like we should.
On today's episode, we are talking about eating well, we're talking about moderation, our personal no-nos, food shaming, lots of different aspects of eating well. We're also looking at that last facet of Myers-Briggs, judging versus perceiving, which should be an interesting conversation. And lastly, we are talking about one trend we are totally into right now, a fashion trend. And Kristen hates mine.
I hate yours.
That's so rude.
We'll get there in a minute.
All right.
Let's talk about eating well.
Okay.
You know, what's funny is we did our first ever episode on sleep, and now we're doing an episode on eating. And, you know, sleep and eating, I mean, these are like two of the basic, like, you have to do these things to survive. These are, you know, like, you have to eat. And yet, for me, sleeping and eating are two of the most difficult self-care things for me.
I would gander that most people have a problem with eating. We all do.
Yeah.
It's
eating well.
Eating well. Sticking with a healthy diet all the time, which I just, how do you even do that?
Well, it's difficult because we really live in a society. I mean, those of us especially who live in America, you know, there's even a term, the standard American diet. I mean, we are not really set up for healthy eating the way that we live right now. We live with convenience foods. We live with busyness, you know, and so it is, you have to try hard to eat well in our current society.
Do. It's a job.
It is.
Like, it's a side career that you have, eating well.
And then you have to Instagram it, or it didn't happen.
Exactly. You've got to Instagram it. You've got to do all of that. You've got to follow everyone on Instagram, make sure you're eating just the right thing. Okay, so quickly, let's talk about, do you have any sort of consistent type diet that you stick with? Is there anything that's a no-no for you?
Well, it's funny. I just had a conversation with someone about this who was convinced that, you know, everyone who's gluten-free is just, it's a fad. But I generally don't eat gluten. Now, I don't think no one should eat gluten. You know, I don't think gluten's evil. But for me, I find that I feel a lot better when I'm not eating gluten.
Yes, I agree. I stopped eating gluten, oh my gosh, what, 4 or 5 years ago? It was actually on the recommendation of my doctor. I was experiencing a lot of health issues at the time, and we could not figure things out. And in order to reduce inflammation in my body, he suggested going gluten-free, which I have found to not be that difficult. Of course, there are some days that, yeah, I'd really like a actual bagel or pizza or whatever. But the one thing I have to say about going gluten-free is that I didn't have a sensitivity to gluten, at least an outward sensitivity. It didn't bother my stomach. I never really noticed it. And then I stopped eating it. But over the past year, I've slowly tried to reintroduce it just a little bit, not because I want to eat a whole bunch of gluten, but just to see what would happen. And now I have problems with gluten.
You know, I have heard that from a lot of people, and I feel like I have experienced the same thing. You know, I will go through phases where I eat gluten again, especially if I'm on a trip where I'm not in charge. Mm-hmm. So like I just recently went to Iraq and Lebanon, and I mean, their diets there are basically pita bread with everything. And I kind of said, well, I'm just going to eat gluten for the week. And I felt it.
Yeah. So I think what I'm going to say to anyone out there that is thinking about cutting gluten from your diet just because it seems like that's the thing to do, maybe don't do that, because you're never going to be able to eat a bagel again without having a major bellyache. So, I don't know. But I mean, there are obviously, it does, it has been proven time and time again to cause inflammation in the body. So if you're looking to reduce inflammation, and that can spell out in many different ways. But overall, if you're looking to reduce inflammation in the body, it is a great thing to cut out. And nowadays, I feel like it has, it's interesting that your friend said that, because I do feel like it has turned into a fad. It's gluten-free is the new low fat. Remember when like all the low fat food came out?
It completely is. And it's causing the exact same phenomenon, which is, if you remember, you know, when we were in high school and college, everything was fat free. So I would literally, I would go eat Papa John's breadsticks and be like, they're fat free, so it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Or
yes.
I would get Froyo. It's fat free. It doesn't matter. And what you don't realize is you're consuming all of these empty carbohydrates, all these empty calories. It's not nutrient. And I think the same thing is happening with the gluten-free movement, because, I mean, we've both been gluten-free long enough to have tried lots of the products. Like, a lot of these gluten-free products are still super unhealthy. Super. They're based on, right, they're terrible. The breads are dense. They're low in nutrition. The cookies are just full of sugar. I mean, they've taken the gluten out, but then they've added in things that aren't necessarily good. So my version of gluten-free does not look like eating a bunch of packaged gluten-free products.
Right, right. Because that's the thing. You could eat a highly processed diet still being gluten-free. All of those Absolutely. Crackers, I go to the grocery store and it's like an entire aisle of gluten-free crap, and it's just processed crap. So
I mean, some of it's totally delicious. Don't get me wrong. Well,
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
But you can absolutely, you can still gorge yourself. I mean, I still do it. You know, I bought some gluten-free crackers for the family and like ate the entire box by myself the other day. You can still go nuts eating gluten-free.
You can go totally cuckoo. But you know what doesn't have gluten in it? Burritos.
Oh, totally. Doritos, also gluten-free.
But Doritos have MSG, and that gives me a headache. So there's a reason for that. But seriously, my dad, he thinks gluten-free is the biggest fad ever. And he's always like, fine, eat your gluten-free. Have a Frito chili pie. Okay, thanks, Dad. That's great.
Yeah. Ice cream, gluten-free. Skittles, gluten-free.
Oh, Skittles are gluten-free. But oh my gosh. Do you know what has gluten in it that I just saw that just blew my mind, because I don't understand why it would have flour in it? Twizzlers.
Oh yeah, licorice is totally made of flour. The licorice.
I was on a road trip. I allow myself to eat Twizzlers only while on a road trip. That's just my rule. It's always been that way. And I got that package and I was so excited and I turned it around. It said wheat flour in Twizzlers? Yeah. That is a bunch of bunk.
Okay, I'm laughing that we're delving into a licorice conversation as we discuss eating well. But Sarah, Twizzlers, I mean, not to be a snob, but like, that's the worst licorice. Twizzlers are like the worst licorice.
Okay, well, I don't like anise. Is it anise? Yeah, anise, yeah. Anise, whatever that. I don't like,
you don't?
Do you eat black licorice?
I love black licorice.
Oh my God. Barf.
But if we're talking red licorice, Twizzlers are the worst.
I think they're delicious.
I mean, to me, it goes Australian soft licorice, the very best.
But you're such a snob.
Red vines, okay.
Ew, no.
Twizzlers, worthless, tastes like plastic.
Okay, shut your mouth right now.
Whatever.
Twizzlers, cherries, disgusting, and the bites. But the original strawberry twists are delicious. They are delicious, and I enjoy them every day that I'm on a road trip, which is twice a year. Don't rain on my parade,
okay,
Kristen Howerton.
Well, clearly, I think our audience is hearing that we are both willing to make concessions to the eating well rules.
Okay, so here's the deal. Moderation.
Moderation.
Okay, moderation. I was an extremely good eater when I lived in Southern California. Those last couple years, you saw me. I was almost to paleo. I wasn't really eating anything processed. I wasn't eating dairy. I was basically eating meat, vegetables, some fruits, only drinking water.
Oh, you were full like green whole foods. Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You were.
And I felt pretty good. I was, it was fine and dandy. And then I moved back to Oklahoma, which I don't know if you know, but Oklahoma has the highest rate of diabetes in the nation. Oklahoma City, there are corners, and I am not lying to you, where there are three or four different chicken finger type fast food restaurants all competing on the corner. People are fast food freaks here. Chick-fil-A's, every single one of them in the city, has blocks of cars all day long, every day. People do not know how to eat well here. I mean, there's a small movement, but most people eat crap all day. Now, I don't do that, but there are... Now that I'm spending more time with my family and we have weekends by the pool, you know, my diet has definitely slipped. We're drinking.
Well, and I do think there are regional differences in the way people eat. And, you know, Southern Californians, well, first of all, they tend to be actually super vain and materialistic. But along with that, you know, they are kind of obsessed with eating well. And that, I mean, I'm from Florida. I go back home and it's like, bring on the casserole made with, you know, some cream of something soup. There are regional differences in eating, and it is a little bit easier to eat well out in California because there is that sort of peer pressure, social, that's kind of how people roll out here.
Oh, absolutely. That is definitely the fact for Southern California. That is not the fact for here in Oklahoma. I still try to eat well, but I will say also produce in Southern California is a lot cheaper than in Oklahoma. You know, I never thought I'd be paying more money in Oklahoma, but it takes a lot further to get where we are than where you are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I won't even tell you how much an avocado costs here. But it's just, it's been a little bit harder. So I've definitely slipped a little bit since I've moved in the past 3 years. And of course, I just chalk it up to being like, well, hey, it's all about healthy moderation. But I still think I eat well.
I think you eat pretty well. I will say on the moderation front, this is a big difficulty for me. I believe in moderation. I like that idea of 80-20. But I find for myself, in terms of eating well, I'm either eating all the way well, like I'm on some program, like I'm Whole30ing or something, mm-hmm. or I'm just eating crap. Like, I struggle with moderation. I just am like all or nothing. I don't know why I'm like that, but like, I just find that if I haven't like set some serious parameters for myself, then I can make excuses all day of like moderation.
Oh, I'm the exact same way.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, when I am focused and honed in on something, I can follow the rules. But it's just like getting a bag of, we don't keep sweets in our house, but we have chocolate chips because once in a while we make chocolate chip cookies, gluten-free, of course, but
totally healthier.
So much healthier. Don't even count all that sugar. But if I open a bag of chocolate chips and I'll tell myself I will eat five, I will not eat five. I'll end up eating 40. And this extends to snacking. If it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I will say to myself, okay, I'm going to eat some carrots and hummus. And then I eat the carrots and hummus. But then I'm like, well, I probably should have a handful of mixed nuts, which I then eat. And then I'm like, well, I probably should have this, this, and this. And it becomes this horrible snowball effect. And I've suddenly eaten 17 snacks in 30 minutes. However, if I just wouldn't have eaten the first one, I wouldn't have eaten anything. It's like somehow my brain like just completely ticks and says, okay, keep on eating. What is wrong with me?
No, I am the same way, which is why, you know, for me, eating well often looks like me following a plan. Like I kind of need a plan.
Yes.
Which, you know, is tough, but there's so many, you know, I don't know what you want to call them. Eating plans, diets, fads, but you know, there's paleo, there's Whole30, there's keto, you know, and it does seem like every time you go to dinner with someone, like someone, you know, someone in a group of 10, two of the 10 at least are on some, you know, some difficult diet.
Some sort of diet.
But I have found for me that being on Whole30, I consistently eat well, and it forces me to buy fresh and whole fruits and vegetables and cook with them. And it's like, if I'm not on Whole30, I'm just kind of like
flailing, it's
a free for all. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing about Whole30. I love eating Whole30 foods.
It
completely satisfies me. I cannot deal with the food prep. And because the thing, if you haven't prepped, if I don't prep personally, if I don't have all of those veggies cut up and all that, I come home for lunch and I just look at my refrigerator and it's like, does not compute. I don't know what to eat. And then I start eating crap. So if I can just get myself to the point where I know there's a lot of food bloggers and people I watch on Instagram that do this, where they prep on Sunday. Yeah. And they have like everything in the refrigerator and it's all perfect for the whole week. If I could do that, I'd be the best eater ever. But oh my God, that is a lot of chopping.
Well, this is why I end up doing a Whole30 or, you know, putting myself on a plan, because if I'm on a plan, I will do that. I've been that person who does everything on a Sunday, but I can't seem to stay that person. Like I've done that, but I'm not doing it right now. And I think, you know, in addition to the moderation, which I think is a big issue for people, I think the difficulty of meal planning, shopping, and food prep is also what keeps a lot of us from eating well. It's not that we don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
It's the meal planning. I mean, if someone would put a whole food diet in front of me at every meal, I'd eat it.
Oh, I would eat it.
I wouldn't complain. I would be thrilled. I like eating healthy foods. I just don't like making them.
I don't either. I mean, who wants to make this beautiful bowl of lentils and avocados and pickled radish that's the most beautiful thing ever and you Instagram it? But I can't do all that. I mean, I can, no. But I don't want to. So it looks like we have to either get a personal chef or not eat like that. Because I don't think I can eat like that.
Well, I think it does really come down to, and this is one of the things we keep talking about, self-care. Why don't we do it? It comes down to prioritizing ourselves. And I don't make a priority. I completely fail at making a shopping list, and then I fail at shopping, and then I fail at the food prep. And, you know, it really comes down to me not putting that on my to-do list and making a million other things more important than that.
I know. I just think this is a hard, hard topic. And then it's almost the pressure too, just being that we're both bloggers, we're both on social media a fair amount. Mm-hmm. And so I say, hey, I'm going to maybe do Whole30. And so I start following people that are really inspirational to me. And I end up just feeling like a loser. Because I'm like, I'm going to go on this diet. Let's do it together. It would ultimately be like, I would start thinking, okay, I've got to like really get this like lined up and this doesn't look good enough. And you know, Is that just me?
I mean, that's one of the reasons when I've done Whole30, I typically don't announce it. Because first of all, no one wants to hear about it. No one wants to hear when you're going on Whole30. Then you get obsessed and you start like posting all of your food photos and like people unfollow you.
But don't until you think that holds you to the fire? I feel like the reason I announce it sometimes is that like, I want to stay... I don't know.
No, I do agree. I mean, I have for sure announced like I'm going to run a half marathon, and I've announced it just so I would do it for fear of social judgment.
That is a great way to live life. That right? is all about self-care.
Mm-hmm. There you go, guys. That's her advice.
Oh my God.
Shame yourself on social media into doing things.
It works sometimes. Okay, is there anything else that you don't eat? Like, I haven't had caffeine for 15 years.
What, 15 years?
Girl, yeah.
Ever.
I am naturally caffeinated. If I drink an espresso, I will look and act like a person who's on a cocaine bender. And I am not exaggerating. It affects me in the most manic way. My heart races. I can't think. And so this all started when I was in my mid-20s and I was having panic attacks. And my doctor told me to cut caffeine. And wow, that certainly helped. And so I've never gone back because I'm scared. I'm scared.
Well, yeah, I don't blame you. That sounds terrible. It sounds terrible and I kind of want to see it.
Well, okay. This is the other thing about me, which you just saw. You witnessed this 2 days ago. I'm also the kind of person that if you give me a Benadryl, I get manic opposed to sleepy.
Yeah. And so I am that person too.
It's so weird. So when I don't sleep, for instance, for some odd reason, let's just call it perimenopause, I woke up at 1:30 a.m. two mornings ago and just didn't go back to sleep. Just, I don't know. I just could not fall back to sleep. And that next day, I was so manic. I could not stop talking. I could not stop walking. I could not stop pacing. I was just like in a tizzy. You would think I'd be on the couch just, you know, totally half asleep, but no. So I just, my body, that's just the way I go. I run anxious. I always am going to go over the top with the energy and the anxiety opposed to like going down into just kind of a more depressed state.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think caffeine, I don't drink a lot of caffeine. I'm not a coffee drinker. I do a green tea every morning, but that's the extent of caffeine for me.
Is that a morning ritual for you? Green tea?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to, and I'm not the person who, if I don't get any, like if I didn't get it, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I feel that. I would say maybe I drink a green tea 5 out of 7 days of the week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the best tea. It's called lavender. It's the weirdest blend. It's a stress away tea. Okay, I'm not going to remember the name. Why did I even bring this up? I'm going to have to link to it.
Link to it. Put it up on selfiepodcast.com for us.
I will, but it's the most delicious tea, and it's supposed to be for stress, but I don't know.
I will say I'm a tea freak. I love tea. Like, I have drawers of tea at my house.
What's your favorite?
I really love Tazo Zen. It's just a green tea with a little ginger. I love that. Yum. Now we were talking about anise and licorice. I love Egyptian licorice tea.
I've never had that. So I would not like it.
But then I love another one, and this one, it's actually called Throat Coat, and it's for when you're sick, but I drink it actually almost every night. It's by Traditional Medicinals.
Ooh.
And it just tastes really good, but it's got a little of that anise licorice taste. I like that. I have some very sad news to share with you.
Oh God, what?
I have recently discovered that I really can't drink wine because it gives me heartburn because I'm so old.
Wait, stop. What? Both red and white? Heartburn? Even, what?
Well, elaborate. Red's given me heartburn forever. But it's starting with white. It's like what? I drink it and I get heartburn.
Is it like the acid?
Yes, the acid reflux. right on up to my throat.
Oh my God.
Acid after I drink wine.
How are you going to replace that? Are we talking hard alcohol or beer?
Probably a gin and tonic, but okay. I really like wine.
I do too. I would be really, really sad. And that's another thing that I've found as I get older. It doesn't give me heartburn, but it definitely gives me headaches, not even the day after, but while I'm drinking it. And I am really bummed about that fact, Kristen.
It sucks. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I feel like we're giving our listeners absolutely zero positive motion for eating well. So I know you do eat well sometimes. Yes. Give us a couple of your best tips. I mean, you know, we're being hard on ourselves, but you do still tend to eat very well compared to the traditional American diet. So what are some of your best tips? What are some of the ways that you stay on track?
Okay, staying on track, breakfast is the most important meal of the day for me. If I do not have breakfast, I feel like I'm just not operating on all cylinders.
I feel the same way.
Eggs and avocado are always in my diet in the morning. So whether or not it's a grain-free tortilla with some scrambled eggs and avocados with some salsa, that's usually something that I eat almost every morning. If for some reason I don't eat eggs and avocado, I will go an almond butter route or peanut butter on a piece of gluten-free toast.
So you're getting a little protein in the morning, which is really important.
Yes, protein is huge. And I like to hit it where I am really hitting it hard on calories and protein in the morning and lunch and then tapering off.
Yep.
My dinners are very small. I don't usually eat a ton for dinner. So the other thing is, which is random because I just went off on it, but I do at least have some peppers cut up, some lettuce cut up, some veggies that are cut up and ready to go because I'm usually kind of a salad person for lunch.
Yeah.
I love cold, crunchy things. And
I do
grab
too.
It. Do you? I love it.
I totally do.
Have you had that cruciferous mix from Trader Joe's? That's the cabbage with the oh, it's so good. It's so good. So yeah, I think my biggest tip is really the consistency and having the ingredients and kind of sticking with something. And then, you know, maybe go out to dinner with friends or out to lunch. I'll get something different. But I feel like I'm really heavy on making sure I'm getting protein in the morning.
Yep.
My brain's working optimally. And then just kind of, I've just got, you know, standbys. I really do. Just things that I always go to that are healthy. What about you?
Well, I'm like you. I eat 2 eggs over medium every single morning. Because I think that getting protein in the morning is the key to not being hungry by 10 a.m.
Yes.
For me, if I eat a carb-filled breakfast, I'm hungry faster. If I eat no carbs in the morning, just eggs, I can totally wait until lunch to eat again. So I do really well at breakfast. I generally do pretty well at dinner. Our dinners usually consist, I mean, I'm kind of boring and predictable, but our dinners with me and the kids, it's usually a protein, some brown rice, and a vegetable, you know,
that's
and I rotate between turkey burgers without the bun, chicken, and my kids, you know, they like bland food, so it kind of works for everyone. Brown rice, some kind of a veggie. Often I'll stir fry, like some sugar snap peas, or I'll roast some peppers. So I do okay at dinner. I do okay at breakfast. Lunch is like the Wild West where I kind of fall apart. But when I'm doing well, sometimes, you know, I'll just buy a bagged salad just because it's better than something else. I just, you know, and this is something we talked about last week about how we kind of abdicate sometimes to taking care of everyone else. I forget constantly to buy myself lunch food.
Yes.
So I'm at home and I've gotten breakfast for everyone and I have a dinner plan for everyone. And then I'm like, I literally have nothing to eat for lunch. So then I eat crap.
And I think that's what we were talking about earlier too. So I try to always have some veggies on hand and salad. So at least I can, also like roasting chicken breasts, grilling chicken breasts, grilling five ahead of time and chopping them all up. I mean, sometimes that's all I'll eat because I just, I'm in a hurry or whatever. I'll come home and like grab a chicken breast and just gnaw on it like I'm some caveman or something. But that is super helpful to do that. But I hear you. And where you get into trouble at lunch, I get into trouble. I mean, 4 o'clock, man. I don't know what it is about 4 o'clock. I get my kids, I bring them home, they start snacking, and then I suddenly feel like I have the green light. And that is usually where my day, if it's going to go down, if it's going to go bad, that's when it's going to happen.
Well, I have a rule at my house that my kids can only eat something out of a package once a day.
Yes, I love that rule. I've seen you do that. I've seen you employ that rule.
And so I try to live by that as well, but I don't always. And one thing I do that I've done before that has been super helpful, because I know that lunch is a downfall for me, on Sunday I'll make up a big chili, a bean-free chili. So it's basically, it's turkey, it's roasted peppers, it's super healthy, it's paleo, and I'll just put that huge, you know, I'll put my huge vat of it in the fridge and I heat it up every day for lunch. When I do that, I really stay on track. The problem is I just don't do it.
I know, which goes back to that same deal of, you know, prepping, shopping, shopping and prepping. That is where the problem lies.
That is.
But okay, so this is not, I hope not too off topic, but I'm interested because I do think your kids do snack and eat pretty well. I mean, you do have a couple that
they
are, you know, so what I'm asking actually personally, but I'm hoping this is going to help someone else out there. My kids are the same way about the packages. Like I try to keep them on one, but they will just, we have a snack drawer and they go all for it. And it's all, you know, processed stuff. It's not horrible, but it's processed. So tell me some good snack ideas you use for your kids when they're after school.
Well, I'm lucky in that my kids just love apples.
Okay.
And so I make sure I always have them on hand. I have a giant fruit bowl that they can grab from. Bananas, clementines, apples are right there. My kids like hummus. I buy sugar snap peas that they and carrots. My kids love carrots. So I think, I mean, to be totally honest, I think a lot of it has been just deprivation. They don't have access to a lot of packaged foods. And so they've learned to like some of these healthier options. I mean, it's kind of the way that adults do a Whole 30. It's really to reset and learn new habits. It's not a bad idea with kids.
That's true. Okay. So what else do we have to say about eating well? Are we done with this? Have we like just basically complained for 30 minutes? And you guys go figure it out for yourselves, okay? Just go figure it out.
Everybody.
And then will you please comment? You can comment at selfiepodcast.com on this particular show and tell us how we can improve our eating habits. Although I think we're
And I think, you know, just to kind of put a button on it, I think we both have the information and we both have the habits at some times. And I think like so many aspects of self-care, it really comes down to discipline and prioritizing our self-care above other things. That's
true.
Just the bottom line. We know how to do it. It's not like we can't figure it out. It's just, you know, that on Sunday, like, you know, with all of the other things you're going to do, like making sure that you go to the grocery store and prep some things and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. I'm on it.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works.
I know. We'll see how that works.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this. We're on the fourth week. We've looked at all of the different arms of Myers-Briggs, and now we are finally to the end, judging versus perceiving.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one. I am an INFJ. You're an ISFJ. But I can really kind of go back and forth on the judging versus perceiving. I'm kind of right in the middle of this one.
So explain both sides.
Okay, so judging versus perceiving really kind of has to do with your lifestyle and your organization. So people who are a J, like both of us are, we like plans, we like organizing, we like to-do lists. I mean, type A is another way of talking about that J. We like structure, we like methods, we don't like surprise and changes. We really love ticking things off a list. That gives us a lot of joy.
That's so much fun.
I know, right? And that is so me. I mean, I have lived by the to-do list. Now, the perceiving, the P's, are a little more fun than we are. They like spontaneity. They like to be flexible. They like to see what the day brings. They like freedom and variety. They like surprises. They like change. They might use a list, but they're going to add to it all day long. They tend to procrastinate, and they like living kind of on the energy of waiting till the last minute.
That sounds horrible. Those people suck.
But I really vacillate between those two things, because I do generally like lists, but I can really procrastinate and wait
Kristen,
until the last minute.
We both can. I mean, we are both huge procrastinators. So I feel like I could maybe be in the middle too, I guess, because procrastination central over here. You got to put me under pressure. I've got to feel like the pressure right this very second to do anything.
So here are, according to the Myers-Briggs website, these are some statements that apply to J's. I like to have things decided. I appear to be task-oriented. I like to make lists of things to do. I like to get my work done before playing, which that's definitely describes me, and I think it really describes you too. Mm-hmm. Now, on the perceiving, I like to stay open to respond to what happens. I appear loose and casual. I like to keep plans to a minimum. I like to approach work as play or a mix. I work in bursts of energy.
Interesting. So how do you think this applies to self-care? Or do you?
Well, I absolutely think it applies to self-care, and it really applies to what we were just talking about. Those of us who are J's are sometimes slaves to the to-do list. And when we are so inflexible, and when we don't put self-care on our to-do list, which people rarely do, rarely. I mean, if I look at my to-do list, even right now, there's not a single self-care item on there. It's a bunch of tasks that I need to do. So when we're a slave to the to-do list, we have to put our self-care on that list.
True.
Because we love checking things off a list so much that when we get to the end of the list, we'll put new things on there.
Oh, yeah. If I did something that wasn't on the list, I add it just to cross it out.
Yeah. So if your personality tendency pushes you towards being on a schedule, you have to schedule in time for mindfulness even.
Right.
And no, it doesn't sound romantic or organic, but if that's how you're wired, that's kind of how you have to compensate for it.
I agree. I mean, I have my times of the day that I do myself. Yeah. It just has to.
And that's why you're good at it. I mean, because you have figured out how to compensate for your personality.
Right. So what about on the other end?
Well, you know, so they tend to be like on the cusp, doing things, you know, as they come. And so they might have to also schedule in self-care. They may be a little better at it because there's a little more ease for them to walk away from a schedule.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But when you don't plan for things, it's just like, it's like the food planning. I mean, people who are P's are going to have difficulty with food planning and eating well just because they're like, well, we'll see what happens. Well, when you see what happens and it's 6 p.m. and you have to feed a family, things don't go well, you know?
That's so true. Yeah, it's just interesting to me about the personality types in terms of self-care. So interesting. And I don't know, like, I've really enjoyed talking about the Myers-Briggs. And I want to, hopefully we can think of some other things to talk about down the road in terms of personality, because I think
Well, I'm already a step ahead of you because I'm now obsessed with the Enneagram.
But I am too.
I'm obsessed. So we've got to talk about the Enneagram.
We have to talk about the Enneagram. So wait, hey, yes. This is a good idea. If you're listening, you should take the Enneagram test online. Yes. We'll link to it on selfiepodcast.com.
We'll also link to Myers-Briggs.
Oh, of course. Of course. We'll link to Myers-Briggs. But actually get ahead of the game with the Enneagram. Yes. Know your number. And we, that would be fun. Oh yeah. I am obsessed too. I had taken it before and I kind of did some light reading, but man, that thing goes deep.
It does. And it's scarily accurate.
So accurate. I guess we both, should we wait? Because we're both the same number.
Let's not say who we are. We're both the same number though. Well, like it's not super obvious.
I know. Yes, it's pretty obvious what our number is. Yeah. Okay. So on to Kristen's, the bane of her existence, our fashion trends that we're super into.
Okay, so we wanted to each share, for fun, a fashion trend we're into. And Sarah's is my giant fashion no. But go ahead and tell us your thing.
Oh, girl, I am loving the high-waisted trend. I love it. Are you kidding me? I love it. I love the high-waisted skirts. I love the high-waisted pants. That makes you, me at least, this all comes down to body types, right? I think we're going to come to
it.
We're going to we'll hash this out. But if you're like me and the best part of your body is your waist and your torso, high-waisted is a dream, unless you're super, super petite, like super short. But for me, I'm tall and I love it because it comes up high, accentuates my waist. I love wearing skirts in the summer with a little tank tucked in. It holds everything in. I'm sorry, but the low-waisted cut jeans, I'm over my ass crack hanging out in the back.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
My cutting into my abdomen, my stomach hanging over or the sides. Like I feel like it's such a tailored, beautiful look when you do it right. And I love it.
Well, I agree. It looks great on you.
It looks great on a lot of people.
It does not look good on me. And I just am tired of seeing these you know what I, though, dislike? I mean, I do think you tend to go for a more tailored look. And yes, it plays out more in skirts. What I'm tired of seeing is girls that are young enough to be my daughter wearing the jeans my mom wore. My mom wore in the 80s and 90s with a 9-inch inseam zipper coming up to the bottom of their boobs. I just... This is one that drives me nuts, and you don't do this, but they've got high-waisted jeans that come just to the bottom of their bra, and yet they're so short I can see their butt crack.
Now that throws me off the edge. The high-waisted
much fabric, so much short fabric above the thigh and literally none below your butt? Just pull them down a little, ladies.
Yeah, I am not a fan. God, that's everywhere too right now.
It's everywhere.
I was recently at a college football game and it was just every single girl had the shortest shorts on. Now, I don't wear shorts, period. I never have.
I don't either.
I just don't wear shorts.
I have a no shorts policy.
But I have that same policy. I follow it. But the high-waisted thing, especially with the longer jeans, and maybe they are even like a fuller cut jean, not straight, you know what I'm saying, but like almost like a flare, but not a flare because flare drives me crazy. There is a very specific thing I'm talking about. I'm going to link about it. But I think it looks so nice and tailored and just for certain body types. For me, I'm just happy because I have athletic legs and trying to stuff them into skinny jeans for the past however many years, I'm just happy to have a little bit more room to wear that silhouette with the fuller leg and the high waist. I'm enjoying it.
I mean, what you're saying makes sense, but it's just funny because I look better in skinny jeans, which doesn't make sense because I'm not skinny.
You and I have very different body types.
We do.
We're kind of flip-flopped.
We are.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. Call me crazy, guys, but I like it. I like it.
And I just want it to go away.
Oh, it will be gone soon enough. It will be gone. We'll be back to some stupid skinny thing again. It's just fine. Okay, you tell me. What's yours?
Okay, the trend that I am so into that I'm behind the curve because I'm sure they're like going out, but I love bohemian dresses so much.
Really?
Long, flowy dresses with patterns and prints that look like I just stepped out of the 70s, I'm obsessed with.
Okay, so can we agree, first of all, that we both have a thing for the 70s? Because high waist was very big in
the
70s.
True.
So we both trend towards a 70s silhouette, I will say that.
We do.
Yeah, because I agree about the dresses too, but go on, go ahead.
Well, I mean, so many things I love about them. First of all, this was a rough summer because I don't have air conditioning and it was hot. And it's like, as you, I don't wear shorts. But a long, flowy bohemian dress is like super cool, you know, like you can stay physically cool in the summer. I love that you can throw one on and look like you're put together. I also love that your hair can be messy. Like, I swear, I could wake up and I could throw a bohemian dress on and people will be like, oh, you look so nice.
That's
but like,
the truth.
I just threw a dress on.
I know.
It's like wearing a long t-shirt. They're so comfortable. They're flattering. I mean, they're basically like wearing stretch pants. Like there's nothing's binding you.
Nothing's super binding flattering. You. And I think that's in general for dresses.
Yes.
The same thing happens. Sometimes in the morning, it takes me less time to throw on a dress than it does to even throw on yoga leggings and a tank top.
Completely.
Then everyone's like, look at you. Well, look at you at 8:30 in the morning. Where are you going? Well, I basically just took my pajamas off and threw this on. Yep. I barely put a bra on. You're very lucky. Mm-hmm. And so I agree, dresses are it. And I will say, you have nailed the bohemian dress look. You have found a lot.
Well, you do know that, like, I found the perfect dress on Amazon.
I know. Well, I know.
And I posted about it, and so many people bought this that it was like a joke. Like, I went to Mom 2 Summit and saw three different people wearing the dress who came up to me and were like, I'm wearing the dress. Like,
the
it
dress.
Became a thing. I will link up to the dress on selfiepodcast.com. I have it in 5 colors.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like a belted muumuu that goes all the way down to the floor.
You look great in those dresses.
It's so flattering. I wear it just about every day. And seriously, like, I'll wear that dress and I'll pick my girls up from school and their friends will say, your dress is so pretty. It's like, they're pretty. They're feminine. I love it.
And can you get them on Amazon Prime?
Yes, you can have one in 2 days.
Instant gratification.
And they're cheap.
That's huge for me. Okay, you definitely need to link to those dresses on
Amazon.
I will
link to the dress.
And then I'm going to give you one last link to look at in the high-waisted category. Just be quiet and humor me. Be quiet. That sounded like Donald Trump. Be quiet. Be quiet. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, so have you heard of Everlane?
I just became acquainted with Everlane.
Okay. I love Everlane because they're...
Of course you do. Well, it's so you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But they're very, they're ethically minded. It's a good company, but like they kind of cut out the middleman. So prices are pretty low. And they just came out with their denim line. This came out very recently. And they have a skinny jean. They have a boyfriend jean. And then another one. I can't remember what it is. But they come in 3 different waists. So they have the low waist, the mid-rise, and the high rise. And the mid-rise is the most flattering thing I've ever seen. And they're not super high. So we're not going up to the belly button. We're going like an inch below the belly button. But they're high enough that you feel held in. And just the way the denim itself is like the old school 100% cotton, even though I don't believe it's 100% cotton. But it still feels that way, kind of stiff. You know, I think it's like 1% something. But they are so flattering. And whenever I wear them, people are like, where did you get them? And best part, drum roll please, they're $68.
What?
$68 for any pair of their jeans. High waist, low waist, mid, any color, the whole thing. You guys have got to check them out. I'm obsessed.
That's a good price for jeans.
$68? That's amazing. Yeah. I think that's a great price. So
I do too.
I don't know. I wear jeans all the time, so it's just kind of important to me. I'll pay a premium. So I was really pumped to see $68 jeans.
You know what's really funny, Sarah, is you got me on that because I used to buy really cheap jeans. And I remember distinctly you saying you wear your jeans all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's the one thing that you should really spend a lot of money on. And so I did start buying less jeans.
Yes. But
more quality jeans. And it is a game changer. It's much better. You were right.
Thank you for that. Every pair of jeans I own, besides the Everlane, which just came out, are by Citizens of Humanity. And I'm not going to lie, they're expensive, but they fit my body well. And they last for years and years and years and years. So yeah. I feel like the return on investment is huge because I wear them all the time.
You know where I get all my jeans, which is not where you would think. My jeans are all from Stitch Fix.
Oh, yeah. You love Stitch Fix.
They have great jeans.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I do. I love the Stitch Fix. I will link up if you are not a Stitch Fix member. Highly recommend. And one fun thing you can do on Stitch Fix is you can actually ask for a box of just jeans. Like you can have a just jeans month.
Try them all on,
return the ones that don't work. But yeah, they have great jeans.
Okay. Well, I've just learned a new tip. Lots of tips. Okay. So what do we have coming up next week?
Well, next week we are talking about hair.
Well, we just talked about hair, Kristen.
Not the hair on your head, Sarah.
Well, where are you talking about, Kristen?
We are having an episode dedicated to the hair down there. Pubic hair.
Let's talk about pubic hair for 30 minutes.
We're going to, Sarah. And you know what? I think I could talk about it for longer than 30 minutes. There's a lot to cover. We're going to talk about ways of removing. We're going to talk about the socio-cultural impact of pubic hair removal. We're going to talk about lasering, shaving. We're going to talk about going gray down there because that's the thing I've heard. I don't know.
I had a friend that happened to. Yeah. You know, a friend. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to talk a lot about pubic hair.
I'm really excited.
I kind of am too.
Okay. What else?
Well, we're going to talk about the art of detachment. So this is a more serious topic, but we're going to talk about what detachment means, what healthy detachment means. And some of this is in line with codependency, but detachment is a way of caring for yourself in the midst of tumultuous relationships. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about tattoos.
Ooh,
do you have one?
I have two.
You have two tattoos.
I do. One of them is almost all the way removed.
Well, I know. You've been removing one.
Forever. Yeah. We will talk about that next week. And if you guys are on Apple Podcasts and enjoying this, please give us a review. You know we're new and we'd love to see what you have to say. So we'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Continue the selfie conversation with us on Instagram at Selfie Podcast and on Facebook at facebook.com/selfiepodcast.
You can also visit our website to check out the resources we've talked about in each episode at selfiepodcast.com. Make sure to subscribe to Selfie on iTunes so that you can catch up with us next week.
A huge thanks to Shepherd Audio for our intro music. Take care.